Evening. It's good to be able to speak to you twice in one day. That's a change. And I appreciate the opportunity to do so. This evening, lesson is entitled, What Do You Want People to Say About You After This Life Is Over? What do you want them to say about you after this life is over? In this lesson, we're going to see what we want to be remembered for, and how. And the main question here will be is, how do you want to be remembered? And I'm going to start out with our past. You know, the past follows us everywhere we go. You know, our past, you know, will people remember that we were once sinners? Of course they will, and people know that. Some may still hold that against us even today. They may have a hard time believing that we have changed. We know that people knew what Paul was before he became a Christian. The past can bother us. We know it bothered Paul, but he understood his task after he obeyed the gospel. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible reads, But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul understood forgiveness. He understood that. But that can be hard to overcome. You know, our past can teach others. It can cause many people to think that you have to be perfect. You know, that's how people can think. They think that you have to be perfect when you obey the gospel. Even as Christians, we all fall short of the glory of God. Sometimes, even as Christians, we can do things that doesn't please God. You know, pleasing self is more important than pleasing God. It's sometimes the way we think. You know, many times we don't like to talk about our past because we're not proud of it. No one's past is great, especially before becoming a Christian. Peter, you know, we know that Peter didn't have a good past either. But he delivered a heart-wrenching sermon on the day of Pentecost. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75. Matthew chapter 26. Verses 69 to 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, You too were with Jesus, the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. Verse 71, when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, This man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. And in verse 73, a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. Now verse 75, and Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, Peter felt sorrow for what he had done. You know, as we should if we were in that situation. Sometimes we deny Christ when we choose to deliberately disobey God's word. You know, it's never good to disobey God's word. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, we all have sin in our life. It's good that we have forgiveness if we repent and change our ways. Point number two this evening. Let's talk about our present. Our present. Are we making an impact on the church now, or are we just showing up every Lord's Day to services and not doing our Christian duties throughout the week? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible reads, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We are God's workmanship. You know, we used to sing the song, I want to be a worker for the Lord. You know, we need to be good examples for the church in all that we do so the younger ones can see what they need to be doing in the future. Do you want to be a worker for the Lord? And I hope we would all answer that question with a yes. We should be finding things that need to be done because there's plenty that we should be doing. You know, I'm sure we have done some door knocking here, but it wouldn't hurt to do it again. It wouldn't hurt to go out and door knock again. We, you know, back when we were in Texas, we enjoyed door knocking campaigns. When Bree and I was there, we went to door knocking campaigns. You know, sometimes we got more dogs to answer the door than people, but we did have an impact of some sort. We also got some good responses as well. You just never know what might be done when we go out canvassing the area. People need to know that we are active in the community and let others know where we are. You know, people need that neighborly feeling. They need that neighborly feeling. We should all want to be workers for the Lord. The Lord has done so much for us. We know that Paul had an impact on the church. Paul had an impact on the church. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. So, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said he was eager to preach the gospel. Are we that eager to teach or preach the gospel as he was? Probably not. But sometimes we get afraid of rejection, and we can't be afraid of that. We cannot be afraid of rejection. He was not ashamed of the gospel, and we shouldn't be either. You know, it's something we should want to share. We want others to be able to see that we care about their soul. We all await on that day of judgment to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, the time is now to be busy doing the work of the Lord. You know, we see the numbers in each congregation has probably dropped compared to where the numbers were 20 to 30 years ago. Numbers have dropped. And maybe not so much here, but other places around here. You know, if a church is not growing, they are dying. And we need to be out inviting. Most of us would agree that we would love for the church here in Colcord to be around for a long, long time. But we know there have been churches that have shut their doors due to their not growing. You know, our congregation needs growth, and so do surrounding congregations. The way we grow is by inviting and teaching them through Bible studies. The congregation has sound doctrine, and we couldn't ask for a better eldership, and we can't go without mentioning our deacons as well. We have good leadership. We are a talented congregation, ones who step up and do what needs to be done and fill in the gaps. We can be thankful for our song leaders, our teachers and preachers, things that are done behind the scenes that go unnoticed. You know, we should appreciate those who step up so we can get things done. You know, you can have an impact on the church today if you want to. We have the choice of that. You know, we should all try to help others get into Christ. Point number three this evening, let's talk about our future. Our future. How can we prepare for the future? Well, we need to teach the young now. Let them have that good foundation before they start doing other things. You know, our foundation is built on Jesus Christ. Our foundation is built on Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. The Bible reads, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." As long as we have that foundation, we can be very impactful. We can make a difference. God wants us to leave good things behind so we can pass it down to those who are watching. The church needs people to help in any way that they can so we can have an impact in the community. You know, what do you want to see the church do here at Colquitt in years to come? What do we want to see here? Well, we want to see, definitely we want to be still meeting here. And we definitely want to see growth. We definitely want to see teaching. We definitely want to see preaching. There's so many things that we want to see here for the years to come. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. The Bible reads, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Verse 25, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So we should always look forward to meeting together every time the doors are open. We need a vision for the church. We need a vision for the church so we can keep going and doing the work of the Lord. You know, we want people to say so-and-so had an impact on the church because he did this, because they did that. We want that said about us. They did so much. They might have volunteered their time. They might have volunteered to teach. They helped ones that needed help physically and spiritually. They took care of those needs. We know what awaits us at the end of this life if we are found faithful. If we are found faithful, we know that our future is heaven. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, and the last part of that verse there. "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." God has promised this to us, but if Jesus was busy here on earth, then we need to be as well, so others can follow in our footsteps. You know, we know things come up sometimes, and we do mess up from time to time. You know, we think about David. David messed up. David messed up several times, but he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and also basically murdered her husband Uriah. He saw her bathing, then decided he had to have her. Well, he did. Not one of his greatest decisions. God was far from his thinking. But how often do we have a thought process without thinking about what God wants us to do? We know that later Nathan rebuked David. Nathan rebuked David for that. In 2 Samuel, and we're going to look at a few verses here. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 9. "Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword, have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon." And then now down to verse 11. "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household." David comes to his senses here, and probably the fear of the Lord overcame him here. In verse 13, "Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die." And then verse 14, "However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die." And his firstborn did die on the seventh day. It was David's punishment for disobeying God. David could have turned away from God forever, but he became a man after God's own heart. He had to learn God's way is better than his way. David didn't know about his future, but it did get better. But, you know, we want the future of the church to be better. So how do we impact the future of the church now? By preparing our young and teaching them about leadership and mistakes they will make. The question that we began with at the beginning of the lesson is, what do you want people to say about you after this life is over? Well, we want them to say, you know, they are workers for the Lord. They are workers for the Lord. They try to meet the needs of the church. They're there every time the doors are open. They're kind. They're compassionate. They're caring. They're loving. All these things we want said about us. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, these are things that we should be practicing daily. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, against such things, there is no law. These are the things that we should be practicing. One just as important as the other. You know, we want to be fruitful in our labor. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 22. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible reads, "But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose." You know, Paul was fruitful in his labor because of the many writings that he has. He had plenty to teach on and plenty to teach to. He had that. You know, another thing we must learn is from James chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. The Bible reads, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." So we must work on our anger. Anger is never good. We end up saying or thinking things that we shouldn't. The church needs to be busy doing things for others. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. The Bible reads, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Verse 10, "So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." So we must do good to all. Many of us think that we aren't capable of teaching or other things that need to be done. Let's think about Moses. He thought like we do sometimes. In Exodus chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 1. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible reads, "Then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you." And now if we go on down to verse 10, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible reads, "Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Moses was fresh out of excuses. He did not trust the Lord wholeheartedly. You know, some may take wood to a neighbor. Some may go pick up things in someone's yard. You know, that's the example that we need to be. You know, each one of us is capable of doing something. Moses asked questions like we do, but it's not all about Bible studies. It's about having a positive influence. That's what we want. We want to be that positive influence on someone because it makes it worthwhile. And then another person that we might mention in the Bible was Jonah. You know, Jonah kept running away from what he was told to do. He was told to speak to Nineveh, and he kept running away. You know, it took being swallowed by a big fish before he was going to speak to them. It took that. You know, we can't be afraid to put ourselves out there and teach the ones that want to be taught. We need a love for others, and they need to feel loved as well. We need to make the church here, we need to make sure the church here has a bright future. This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you've struggled in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.